Every Chinese New Year, we say blessing to one another. So my wish for all of you this year is 恭喜发财. Okay, I know you, especially those who already have agreed to make a gift. Substantial gift for the Bling Fund. And, you know, I'd like you to be conscious of the blessing the Lord is going to bring upon you as you make plans to make your gift. All right, today we are going to talk about the building strong families. You know, the family is the only thing that really matters at the end of the day. Let me try and organize this table. It's a little bit small for me. Okay. Today we're going to be two things I want to talk about. One is the what you've got in your notes. So if you've got the notes, I'm going to be going through it. If you've got your notes, just wave at me. See, some of you don't have the notes. Oh, okay. Try and have the notes I'm going to run through. So the time is now 10:10. So I'll see what I can do. I don't think I'll be able to finish my sermon. So I'm going to give you what I will be able to give within maybe para one is what I hope to finish. Now, you have to turn to this chapter, Proverbs 31. So if you've got your Bible, you have to have your Bible open. I don't know how you juggle these two, but anyway, we are going to be referring quite a lot to the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, it's only by your Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, that you will speak to us each one, Lord. We recognize that human wisdom can never understand the deep things of God. So I pray for a spirit of humility to hover over this place so that, Lord, we are learners trying to be good learners for this morning. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Now, if you've got your notes, you'll find that we are going to talk primarily on from Proverbs 31, from verse 10 onwards. Just to introduce you to a little bit on the theme that I'm looking for, is we talk a lot about the wife's role, and I want to highlight how important her role is. And so I want to tell you that Chapter 31, from verse 10 onwards to verse 31, gives you the ideal situation. You see, the Word of God has to be the primary base of our learning. So what does 31 tell us about being a good wife? Why are we talking about a good wife and a good mother? Because a home cannot be a home without the wife and the mother. Take her out, there's no more home. You have a house, but no more home. Just a few words about this, chapter 31, verse 10 to 30. You see that there are 22 verses. And because this is supposed to be memorized, so they go by the 22 alphabets of the Hebrew alphabet. That means in verse 10 is A, Aleph. The next verse, Bet. The next verse, Gimel, and so on. So it's ABC in English alphabet, all right? Reason is so that people will memorize it. And I want you to know that if you study this chapter very well, you will avoid a lot of heartaches. And I believe your family will be successful. So this is the model that has been set. So, but because there are many 22 things here, so I try to sum it up in my notes. So if it's in my notes, you see that we talk about working at home. People like to work at home. Wives are supposed to like working at home. Take your time. So, so work from home is not new. So according to your notes, follow me. Work at home started 1,000 years ago. So you'll find that I'll be emphasizing a lot of work from home. But I'm not trying to make a guilt trip about on those who are working as a career. I just want you to learn how things work out according to this Proverbs 31. But it's a home in which you exercise God-given talents. All right, that's in the notes. Then in doing so, there are two things I'd like you to underline. It's not just a matter of choosing between career and family. It is trying to think in terms of a career with the family as a priority. And the second point is that it must be home-based. All right, these are. Let me take you quickly to these notes because it'll be easier for you to know where I'm coming from. Okay, I want you to follow your notes. Where I underline, you can also underline. So in the introductory note, they say here that the home must be priority because that's the only thing that is yours. Your job is not yours. Your career outside is not yours. Truly what is yours, your very own, is your home. All right. And then there is no loss of any career or your family. So I've summarized it in three words here in your notes for the chapter 31. You see here, number one, I see the word valuation or value. Okay. And that it is, let me talk about it shortly. Then there's a lifelong vocation. And then I talk about the end in mind, the vision. All right. So under in valuation, we got here value. The common society is people think a career woman is more valuable than the homemaker. I hope to change that. Then there will be a vocation. How do you use this as your life work in the home? What does it say? But the life will always end up with producing public good. But the important thing here is the woman's success can impact her marriage negatively. We'll introduce some of these ideas here. Why? Then the end in mind must be a vision. It must be very clear. The vision is that she finally watches over the affairs of a household. That is the most important thing to watch. Then her vision, ultimately her children arise and call her blessed. Husband also. So finally, a harmonious family itself is a great testimony bringing glory to God. All right, now, so you know what we are talking about. So let me sum it up with this mind map. In this mind map, I try to summarize the entire chapter with this. First of all, it's about value. Okay, we're going to talk about the value. What is a wife and mother worth? The key word is, she's worth above rubies. All right, you got this. We're talking now about visionary role of the wife and mother. So the second thing we talk about is the homemaker vocation. So V for vocation. And thirdly, we talk the vision of the blessed family and how it brings glory to God. All right. So this will be the summary of chapter 31. Okay, you got it? Value. Say it together with me. Value. Value. Vocation. Vocation. Vision. Vision. All right, that's the three keywords I want you to remember as I present to you. Now, because the Word of God is more important than what can I ever say, then let me give you a quick rundown of what this passage is talking about. When you turn over your Bible, let me give you a rough rundown on what this passage says, because this what this passage says is more important than all my notes. All right. So I'm going to give you, first of all, the I'm going to point to you what this passage says. The first thing it says here, this is the most important verse. It's a rhetorical question. Who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find? Meaning to say, it's hard to find. For her worth is far above rubies. Now, what is she worth? That's a question every husband, every child, and even every woman need to ask. What am I worth? So it says here, it compares to, is far above rubies. Now, what do you mean by far above rubies? One day on a flight, many years back, actually, between Europe and coming home, I met one Asian man sitting next to me. And we got to talk to one another. So I asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a jeweler. I make jewelry and I sell jewelry. And he took out from his pocket one small brooch, round brooch, with some red precious stones on it, in a gold frame. And he said, look at this. I said, what jewel is this? Oh, these are rubies. Then he asked me, can you guess how much this will cost if you were to buy it for your wife? I said, probably $1,000. All right, maybe $5,000. And he told me, you know how much this is the market price? If it's so, it's $62,000. I said, what? You mean this few precious stones encased in a gold frame is $62,000? He said, yes, that's the market price. You see, my problem is I didn't know how much rubies were worth. So I did some research on I bought a book in South Africa about precious stones. And I found that they only mentioned rubies, None of them stated what the price is worth. But rubies are very expensive. Now, so Solomon here, by the way, this is the summary of a mother giving advice to a young man who is looking for a wife. Okay, singles, this probably is a summary of what a mother, a loving, smart, brilliant mother, sums up the whole picture to his son, to her son, as to how, what to look for, and how to build your marriage, how to value people. So the first part, if you see in my notes, I put there, it's to do with treasure. Her worth must be treasured. She's like a jewel. How many of you men who are married more than 10 years can say you value your wife far more than rubies? I know courtship time, you value her very high, right? Maybe rubies, diamonds, you say, oh, I'll sacrifice my life, I'll swim the deepest ocean for you, I'll climb the highest mountain for you, I'll do anything for you if you'll just marry me. But only this Saturday, I'm too busy to see you. Not this kind of thing. But you see, I have to confess that 2 years after my marriage, I forgot to value my wife. So we end up quarreling over small things. And so this verse tells me that it must be a treasure. If you can say you treasure your wife and don't lie to me, God knows it. Has it been a continuous thing? How do you treasure your wife? So the first thing has to do with what value do you place on a life partner? So, by the way, for ladies, you can turn it the other way. It's still applicable. Valuing your life partner must be something you've got to settle in your mind, that if she's not treasured, your marriage cannot succeed. That's something you need to remember. But the problem is this. All of us never realize it until we lose it. Correct or not? Even the $100 in our pocket, it's only $100. But hey, if you lost it, you say, hey, where's my $100? So the problem is most of us only realize it after we have lost the treasure. So I've made some studies in the last 3 months of why people break up their marriage. And most of them confess, I failed to value my spouse until I lost him. Every one of them said that. Bill Gates is a high-profile person who had a good marriage with his wife. I think Melinda or something, right? I don't remember other wives' names, but okay, he got married. And for many years, and then, did he commit adultery? There was no evidence of it, but he broke one rule. Remember, I said exclusivity. Can you remember the word L-E-T? That's our first sermon. First, there must be love. What are the structure? Love. Okay, let me try and see what I can get for you. Where is my... Okay, I got it somewhere. Remember, the three ingredients are love, exclusivity, and trust. That's right. So there was never evidence that he slept with any other woman, but once a year he told his wife, I'll spend time with my old friend 1 week. And the report says she agreed to it. But that's breaking exclusivity. All right. Yes, he knew this girl long before he met his wife. But exclusivity is a sign that you don't value a person. You don't treasure a person. So, treasuring someone or something is often overlooked until you lose it. That's a problem. I thought very long about this. Why is this the case? And my conclusion is this. Very few people can foresee the consequences, even though he knew all about it. That if he failed to treasure his wife, the day will come when he loses her. Then he feels, wow, that's my biggest loss. So Bill Gates said, my biggest regret in life is that my wife divorced me because I did not value her enough. But he didn't use the word exclusivity. And so there'll always be difficulties and pain when you lose a sense of your treasure. But remember, very few of us are able to project into the future and say, if I lost my partner, what will life be like? The answer is there's not much life left. So, for singles, you need to know these are the mother's guidelines, that you look for someone you can treasure. Look at her worth. How do you know his worth is much? Because finally, he's a man who fears the Lord. Thanks. I was walking, talking in the dark. All right. So, even your single lady, remember. Sorry, this light is not very friendly with us. Okay. So, remember one thing in the first verse is very few of us can project the future consequences or even the future benefits. Just remember that. So the mother tells us, you need to fix this principle in our life. Make sure you treasure her. All right. So the second verse tells us that the reason is because the heart of a husband safely trusts her, so that you will have no lack of gain. Okay, you got this right. Now, I try to summarize. This is my basic notes I started with. So I talk about a mother to the son. How to select a wife. That's for you who are single. But for those who are married, how to keep your wife applies. So I say it's a value. So there are three things you need to know. First, you must recognize her worth, that she's a living treasure. So this is my Bible study notes. Why? Because she's trustworthy. That's the highest value. Remember, trust is a foundation of a marriage. No trust, no marriage. If you cannot trust her, then I'm afraid you better not get married. And I have to say, and then secondly, why? The husband feels safe. His gain is unlimited. That means the benefit of a good spouse is unlimited. That's what this verse is trying to say. But there's a second value that you need to know, that she will not hurt him. That's what it says here. Can you see here? She does him good. All right, this is my verse. She does him good and not evil. NIV says, no harm all the days of her life. She's giving a lifelong warranty. You buy a watch, You buy a car, no such thing as a lifelong warranty. 3 years if it's a car. All right. But a good spouse is a lifelong guarantee. This is what guarantee that you'll do good and not harm. Do you know your wife or your spouse can easily do great harm and send you to a grave at an early age? Very simple. I read some stories why marriages break up. So a story of this man who had been married 23 years. Maybe he didn't value that marriage. So at the end of the 23 years, the wife, who was what he described as gorgeous woman. Hey guys, you do, married men, do you ever think your wife is a gorgeous woman? Good. Only one man. I am disappointed. This morning I told my wife she's a gorgeous woman. So I did my duty. But the thing is this. After 23 years, this man came back from his work. 5 p.m., the wife was there. And she was gorgeously dressed, so beautiful. She made her hair, wow, so well. And she put on lipstick. She's so dressed. He was so stunned. He said, wow, amazing. And the wife said, hey, you're dressed so beautifully. I didn't know we got a date tonight. And the wife said, no, honey. Yes, I have a date tonight, but not with you. The husband said, so who are you going out with? I got a new boyfriend. And that man nearly collapsed. The wife only needs to say, I got a new boyfriend. I'm going out on a date. And that man is dead. Correct or not? And this man described, he said, his marriage collapsed. Everything was gone. He had one single sentence. She would have done a... He would have felt better if she took a knife and poked him. Would not be so painful if she tell him, look, I got a date and it's not with you. That's a law of what? Exclusivity being broken. So a wife can do great harm just by saying one sentence, I'm going out on a date tonight with my new boyfriend. Okay. So the amount of harm is just one simple thing. She said, I'm going out. So can you see that she has no intention whatsoever to do this kind of harm to him? And the greatest harm is just saying one simple sentence, I'm going out with somebody else. That's called unfaithfulness, of course. So that is considered a very important benefit. We need to recognize that because she pledges as a lifelong, all the days of her life. A lifelong guarantee is something you will not get anywhere. All right, so this is my Bible study notes. So can you see this up to verse 12? The value, why you should value your partner. Okay, these are the three things. Check your worth. See why she's worth it. Because she gives you a lifelong guarantee. She keeps you safe. She will not kill you by telling you she's going after another person. And from 13 right to 23 is the vocation, how she conducts it. All right. So you find that in my notes here. She does a lot of things. She brings food from afar. The most important thing is she willingly works. Can you see this word? She willingly works. You know, a good spouse is somebody who willingly works. If your wife willingly works for you, for the family, what do you say each day? At least a thank you. How often you say thank you because you work willingly? Do you know willingly is a very important word in the Bible? Queen, the leader of Israel in the days of Judges called Deborah, she had a song because of victory in those dark days. And she said, I honor the commanders because they willingly worked. I honor the leaders because they willingly led. And when that happened, the entire nation of Israel revived. But when they stopped working willingly, the country began to disintegrate. So she willingly works. And so each of us, when we work for each serving one another, it must be willingly. Not say, well, if I have to, don't do it, can or not. I mean, this kind of thing. Sometimes it's very inconvenient, but you do it willingly. That is a virtue. That's a kind of vocation. And it says she provides food, according to verse 15, to the family. She provides food. Everybody knows. One day, three meals, especially dinner. Somebody got to cook the food. Yes, you can buy the food, but somebody got to cook it, right? Every day, there are, the meal is on the table. She provides food. Of course, sometimes the wife may not be so experienced, but she may treat you like a god. You know, some wives treat their husbands like a god. Every dinner time, she serves him burnt offerings. And even when the burnt offering, just 2 days ago, my wife made some, cashew nuts. She boiled it raw, and I like it when she put it in the oven. And it came out overdone. It was black. She said, oh, she said. I said, no, I like it black. But that's the truth. I like it a bit darker, a bit burnt. But somebody willingly works. Can you appreciate that? When somebody doesn't willingly, can you say thank you? Observe that it's done willingly. Then she's not only provide food, she's enterprising. Verse 16, she's enterprising. That means what? She considers a field. And then from the profits, she plants a vineyard and so on. Now, enterprising. A wife or a husband must be enterprising. Sometimes we are not. But we have learned to be enterprising. Get best value for money. Conserve wealth. Don't waste. So happens that this wife is good at real estate. She knows what property to buy. And I think she's probably a hobby, looking at houses, what surprises like. Happens to be my wife's favorite hobby also. She looks at it. One day she saw one at a very low price. And she alerted me and we bought that property. We made some money out of that. But enterprising doesn't mean you need to be focused on real estate. It can be anything based on what God has given you. Be enterprising. Learn to be enterprising. That means looking where there can be profit, looking how to conserve wealth, because this is something she's thinking. So if you're not interested in real estate, maybe there's some other area that God has given you. But as a wife, even you are stay at home. I think my wife staying home, she made more money than I ever made as a working man. That's the truth. But exercise that gift that the Lord has given you. She made use of what she had. Can you see? And then she's very perceptive. She perceives. She perceives what's going on. She knows what's going on. She keeps in touch. Now, then, verse 19. She knows what she has. So, you see in verse 19, she stretches her hand and she stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She says here in verse 18, her lamp does not go out by night. So she works quite hard. And some people say, wow, it's hard work. You know, sometimes you need to work hard because of the it keeps your body alive. But there's one thing I don't know whether I missed out is, yeah, she's, verse 15. There's something here that I'd like you to notice in verse 15. If you've got your Bible, you need to mark it. It says she also rises while it's yet night. Have you got it? She also rises while it's yet night. And I put in my notes here, she's a very disciplined person. No, lazy wives and lazy husbands impact marriages negatively. You have to rise up early. If you wake up at 2 p.m., I think you are not a very good husband or wife. Okay. There is a book written by someone who says the power of the 5 a.m. That means, you have heard the phrase called the early bird catches the worm? Well, there are advantages. My mother said she wake up when she was a newlywed. She had to wake up at 3 a.m. So what time does she sleep? Well, she tries to sleep early, which is 10 p.m. But starting early is an advantage when you have a family to take care of. I don't say you must wake up at 5, but anyway, there is an advantage. But it speaks of a disciplined life. Of course, it applies to both parties, but here she makes a difference as a homemaker. I'm talking about homemaker. She gets up early. And then she has charity here. She, verse 20, have you got it? She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches our hands to the needy. She's a compassionate person. Hey, that's a... Guys, you're looking for a wife? A compassionate person. Young people, you're looking for a husband? It should be someone with some compassion for the weak. And then, but the most important thing is she is always planning ahead. So she's not afraid of the snow in her household. When weather changes, situations changes, she already thought ahead of the needs and she's well prepared. All right. But the important word I'd like you to highlight is this. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. That means, can you see the word household? She thinks ahead for her household. Not her boss's household. Not somebody else's household. Her own household. And then, verse 22, her clothing is fine linen and purple. What do I call this? Verse 22. I call this personal grooming. She takes good care of herself. Okay. So if you are a husband, don't stinge on giving your wife money for personal grooming, whether it be her going to the hairdresser, going to buy some nice clothes. But this wife knows how to wear properly, she has a sense of dressing and how to dress up and how to keep. So I believe every wife who is a homemaker should not just be shabby in her dress. Okay, this This is what the mother says, all right? So the mother tells the son, but this mother's view is very important. If you are a wife, as a homemaker, please don't be shabby, all right? And dress up nicely, as if you're going to work outside, but you're working at home. And then it says here, the most important thing is verse 23. She supports her husband's work. She's very supportive. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. Okay, what is this gates here? In ancient times, a major business transactions are done at the gate of the city. Justice and court is also held at the gate. A lot of things are done at the main gate of the city. So the husband was able to perform well in his job. And in this case, probably his business or what he's doing. You know, a secure family, a secure home always buttresses a man's career. She didn't do anything to destroy it. Because a secure home enables her husband to set his mind to be the provider. All right. So she supports him. She appreciates what he's doing. And that's a wonderful wife, I think. She knows what's going on, but she supports him in his public work. Then he... That would be so up to verse 23 is the vocation. Alright. So from verse 24 onwards, we have what is called a vision. This is what you are aiming to do, right? So she does some business, she makes things in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So I call this, she's very productive. She's productive. And she's profitable. She makes garments and belts. And so that's what she could do. So she makes use of the gifts she has. Then she has learned one thing. So verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She has one thing she has learned before she got married is wisdom in speech. And it always reflects kindness. Do you know, learning how to speak in a kind manner is something that we all have to learn. Because we live in a world that is full of bad language, vulgar language, aggressive language. But the words of kindness is something that comes through wisdom. That's what the book of James says. By the way, the book of James reflects this chapter very much. Proverbs and James, they are comparative passages. So learning how to speak, well, the way the Word of God says is to speak with humor, to speak a word in season. I mean, watch your speech. What we say comes from the heart. That means what you have learned and what is part of you and what you have learned will come out in our speech. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that means she's a learner, a wise learner, someone who has been learning very attentively. So wives are not stupid people. They are learners. But they soon become stupid if they are not learning. She learns new things. She has wisdom in her speech. She watches her household. See the word household here again and again. Why? Because that's the only thing that belongs to her. It's her very own. And she needs to take possession of it. Your career out there may be wonderful. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your boss or the company. So she watches over her household. That means she keeps priority to the house. So you are making note in your Bible, this is what you say under vision. Then he's impacted the life of children, verse 29, 28 and 29. You know why she impacts the household? Because her children rise up and calls her what? Blessed. And her husband also. You know, I sometimes smile at this word. How come husband also? Husband should be the first one to do it. But anyway, that's for you to think about, husband. Husband, don't be the also, be the first one to do it. But the children know how to bless her. How did they learn how to bless her? Because they were taught, mostly by the mother. So how were they taught? One of the things that you want to know how to teach, how to speak, how to bless your children, then, you know, one thing you have to do is you have to learn how to teach them. And I've got here this announcement. I don't know whether chairman announced, but we have got a this announcement is on conversations on biblical truth at home or marketplace. So what we are saying now is because I asked Dr. Tan Mei Ying to do some research to see among the congregation, how do the mothers here, do you know how to engage your children in conversation? How to connect with conversation? And most of them turned out, said, we don't really know. So a few months back, I told Dr. Tan to do a manual, a program. And so she has done so, and I told her we'll have to make a manual out of it. Because a lot of children now, you cannot talk to them top down. Ah, you must do this, you must do that, you cannot do this. No, they don't like it, right? So the modern way is to have a conversation. And conversational skills is not what we all know, because our schools don't teach us conversational teaching. We seldom hear of people, any course being carried out, oh, this is how you engage the connection, how to build a connection using conversation rather than top-down instruction. So she worked on it for many months now, and so we are going to conduct the course. I will help her a bit, but she's the main resource person. So we are going to do one on the on-site, on full-time, would be on Saturday, starting on the 15th. Starting very early, 7:30 to 6 p.m. At our church office. This is our church office. And so if you're interested, it's open to all who wants to learn, okay? So you have to make your time. Set aside the time if you want to learn. But we can only do half of it for a full day. After that, we have to follow through with under Zoom. But this skill is not so simple. Okay. And we have really thought through this for many months now, how to do conversational instruction. You see, the young children need to be taught. So, and so we are conducting this program for. So, if you want to, you need to register by Tuesday, and church office. All this you have in your newsletter. Okay. Children do not become skillful, successful, because they are left on their own. Okay. And they need to be instructed. I told you about my case. When my mother went to work as a maid, my whole family, my brother and I, would roam the streets. We're so bored at home, we didn't know what to do. And my sister's going to work in a factory. And my mother was so observant. When she came back, she saw her children all in a mess. And I told her one day, I saw her sitting on a bed. She looked so sad that her family is going to pot. And she decided to resign from her job and took care of us. Then everything changed. So children cannot be left on their own. And I got a detailed instruction on this. And she did her. So she impacted the life of her children. And she did her best. Because it says here that her, verse 29, many daughters have done well, but, okay, but you excel them all. You did the best. I believe every man and woman should be the very best. Aim to be the vision should be the very best for your children and for the Lord. And the secret it all is because she fears the Lord. Okay? She fears the Lord. She's accountable to the Lord. So these are my first notes. But I don't know how you study this. I've given you some handles on this. Now, so I've given you the Word of God. Now let me just try to explain things. So I've got my mind map. I've given you the overall summary with this. Okay, try and remember, try and value, appreciate it. Must that your wife, in this case, must be above rubies. That's a value of what she is. And then homemaker vocation. It's a lifelong and it's productive. Because if you work on a career job, there is a retirement date. In your family, as a homemaker, no retirement date. So mothers are empowered when you do this. But she must have a vision to bless the family. Because a blessed family always glorifies God. Okay, this is what we have learned. Let me give you another perspective. Then in my notes, I give you the second part. I don't think I can finish this. Just for you to know very briefly that you learn to appreciate your wife. Is an appreciative husband's love in a supportive wife. Must be, how do you do it? You support her by knowledge. You have to be an observant husband. All right. She can only become a visionary wife if the husband also support her by being observant. Know what she wants. All right, this is a quick summary. I'll talk more about this next time I'm preaching. You need to honor her, see value in her. How do you honor her? I've given you notes some way. Well, be observant, honor her by opening doors for her, for instance. Treat her as someone important. You need to initiate connection, including times of prayer. I give you this detail in the notes. There are three things you can do as an appreciating husband. But if a husband does not appreciate his wife, this will not be, he will not be observant. He'll be embroiled in his own thing, do his own thing. All right, this one I'll give you more details. But just one more thing I want to highlight before I close. I've got 10-15 minutes left. I will not be able to finish what I've given you in the notes today. I just want to highlight one thing here. Because we talk about the household being important, the importance of the household. So I want to give you and address a question. The question is, should mothers should mothers be employed outside the home? I said earlier that here, I'm not trying to send a guilt trip on those who are working outside the home, but it's something for you to think about, okay? Based on chapter 31 of Proverbs, the question I want to address is, does it matter whether a mother works outside the home or be a stay-at-home mom? Now, before I give you some details, looking back, one of the best decisions Ken and I made was before our first child came, she said she would be a work-at-home mom and should take care of the kids. Now, this was a very major decision because by the time we are ready to start our family, she was having a job that pays far more than mine. I was an army captain. I drew $900. At that time, supposed to be a big salary, $900. But she worked in a bank where all the money was, you know. And so it happened that when she applied for that job in the bank, the owner looked at her background and saw her father's name. He said, "Oh, your father's name is this. Is he your father?" She said, "Yes, that's my father." "Oh, we are friends. We are old friends." "Ah, in that case, come in, no need to interview anymore." Wow, how many of you got this kind of chance? So she got in, and she got a far bigger salary than mine. Mine was here, hers was there. But she decided, as we prayed, she said, "No, I think I'll stay home." And the first 6 months, she didn't know what she was bargaining for. In the office, she tell her staff what to do, do this, do that, do the other, she made a report. By home, she's the staff. Everything she has to do, from cooking to washing the baby, everything, keep the house clean. And boy, it took her 6 months to get used to it because she has been used to an executive job. So all her friends said, relatives said, "What a waste. You are a graduate, you got a top job, you got every day dressed like a queen, you all go to work, you are chauffeured around, I was a chauffeur, by the way. And life is good. Why you wasted at home, no money?" Everybody thought that way. But you know, the Word of God's idea is this. If the wife is so brilliant, so productive, so smart, let me give you a new perspective. Why must she use all her talents to serve that company? Why can't she be used to serve our household? Is our household more worthy to receive your talent being applied, or the company is more worthy of your skill? Because you're so smart, you can make money, you can do many things. But can't that talent be used in the home? Why must it be sold to somebody? Yeah, they pay bigger salary. So, of course, we have to tighten our belt in my meager army captain salary, and we have to really count our pennies. We cannot go to Europe for holiday. My friends say, "Oh, that time the craze was go to Europe, you know." And but he said, "No Europe." I said, "Sorry, we can't go to Europe." She said, "It's okay. I don't want to be a tourist in Europe. I want to live in Europe one day." She just said like that. But we end up, we did live in Europe one day. But that was one of the best decisions we made. Because she stayed at home and she knew how to connect with the kids, taught the children, and she anchored the home and she released me to serve in the church. I'm so grateful to her for making such a decision. But the first 6 months, I always hear, oh, so it was tiring. At first, I also didn't understand that until she had to be in hospital for 3 days and I took over the job. After 3 days, I thought half my life was gone. So now, just a few brief things you have to read for yourself here, but let me just give you some guidelines here. Does it matter? Firstly, the home must be priority. That's what the Word of God says in Titus 2:5. So the question is, the wise woman, I said here, a house is not a home. Somebody has to make it into a home. So a wise woman builds a house, and a foolish woman tears it up. Take note of this, Proverbs 14:1. Be in the business of building, but learn how to build. All right. The question is, whose house are you building? Your own house or somebody else's house? Then both roles are demanding. But the question I think is, can a mother fully serve her boss demands and still give equal attention to her children at home? So that's an issue I want you to think about. Can the task of childcare be fulfilled by maids? Why can't maids do the mother's job? So I give a few reasons. Because the early stage of a child needs to form habits, discipline, values, skills, life skills. Underline these four words. Because this involves a lot of thinking, therefore, who is supposed to get this job? So, one point I highlighted here is discipline and good habits can only be enforced by parents. Parents have the authority to do this. And she has to be present at the teachable moments. You see, discipline and teaching cannot be done like a fixed program. They are what we call teachable moments. Mother at home is the only one who, someone needs to be there. Then, something you need to know that children left on their own may not learn. Okay. So, young children in particular needs supervision. That's what I mean. Now, can the maid do this job? So the next thing I ask is, does the presence of a homemaker make any difference? So I talk about the principle of jurisdiction. Now, I explained here in the notes that jurisdiction is something, or authority, exercising of authority is something that God has put in place. Like in Romans 13, we talk about the government of a country. The jurisdiction for a country's leadership is a government. And the government has a top job, is supposed to enforce discipline to prevent chaos. The jurisdiction of a government is not to give out free money every week. Okay, that's not their job. But, maybe our government wants to do more than required. But authority to keep discipline in a nation is in the hand of the government. Otherwise, you get chaos. But in the home, the authority and jurisdiction is in the hand of the parents, not the government. And it is not given to mates, not given to grandparents, not given to the church. The church don't discipline children. Sometimes the children run around making a lot of noise. Church tell them to stop, the kid may not listen. If the church leader disciplines the kid, the mother will get angry and say, I don't want to go to this church. Can you see the problem? But it does reflect that at home, the parents have not disciplined the child. They don't know when to run, when to have fun, when to be quiet, when to behave himself. This is the jurisdiction for this, and the duty of this is in the parents, and usually the mother is the best person, of course. The father is supposed to help to enforce. But mothers have a special sense and skill that very often the father doesn't have. Sometimes we fathers were over-disciplined, and then we feel so sad. Well, one day I really disciplined my son for quarreling with his sibling. And I felt so bad because I came in very hard. And who is the one who cries? Is the father. This is because sometimes I don't know how much discipline to apply. Sometimes we overdo. Sometimes we underdo. So very often I have to get the clue from my wife. How far to go? This takes wisdom. But the mother is the one who has got very fine tuning. And that's why very often we say, the boy, you take care of the kids at home. Father must come in also after he has finished his job as a provider. All right. He must get the money, make sure food is on the table. And he must do it willingly and not complain and say, "Ayah, today I have a tough time. Oh, please, you must sayang me." It's not like that. Okay? So I don't know whether you know that this is a job given not even to the church. Okay? But why do you have to do this? Because kids need to learn self-control. And self-control cannot be learned without external help, especially in the first 10 years of the kid's life. Okay? And then young brains need optimum support. There's a lot of research on this. But Deuteronomy 6 commands us to teach spiritual values and habits to our children. So how do you do this? I know some of you say, "Pastor, I don't know how to do it. Can you teach me?" Well, that's why we organize this conversational equipping on the 15th. 2 weeks' time. Because especially during the first 5 years, it's very important that the child learn how to listen to father and mother. If all the time they are listening to the maid, then when it's handed over to you, what happens? The kid cannot. Your voice doesn't mean anything. That's why you have to start from the time he's born. And we have to set the stage for the child's behavior well into adulthood and future academic learning. So the learning habit is established by parents. Okay, the habit of learning. So what I'm trying to say is, my argument is this, that the mother need to be whole. You have seen that film called Home Alone. It's a lousy feeling. I was a kid, I was home alone. I felt like a ship without a rudder. I don't know what to do with myself. And I did badly in my class. So, do you know, just a mother being at home makes a big difference. I congratulate those mothers here. You made an effort to stay at home with the kids. That's wonderful. But you need to learn the skill of equipping. Otherwise, the time is gone. It's wasted. How about grandma? Grandma can help. But grandma is not the one to discipline the kid. Grandma, please teach your daughter how to do her job. Okay. Grandmas who take over the daughter's job, one day will get blamed by the daughter. You never do a proper job. But that's not your job. It's not your grandma's don't. It's not your job. The mother is your job. Let's make it very clear. So grandmas don't take over your daughter's and your son's job. Okay? Because that bonding together will help the family to grow together. And then your children, even into adulthood, will find a bond with your father and mother because you took time to spend with them. And that is a wonderful experience. All right, I think my time is gone, but I just want you to know whether you could just come before the Lord and ask the Lord to help you make a decision for your own learning. How do I equip my children? How do I have conversations with them? Okay, can you bow your head and just talk to the Lord yourself before I give a closing prayer? What's your role? Your grandpa, you're a mother, whatever you are. Some of you are working and you wonder, what should I do? Well, you ask the Lord right now. What is it you want the Lord to do for you? And is this Proverbs 31 something that you want to comply with? So if you are a husband and you have failed in the verse 10 in your valuing of your wife, then I think this is a time for confession to the Lord. Or wives, whether you value your family, to give it top priority. If you haven't, it's a time for you to repent before the Lord. Just ask God for one thing. Shall we all stand for closing prayer? Father, we all want to have wonderful families. We want to have wonderful children and good connections. We want to have a husband and wife marriages that are so good that, Lord, it brings glory to the kingdom of God. But Lord, you know that some of us sometimes have grown mediocre. We have taken each other for granted. And some of us, Lord, you know, we have never thought about the value of our wife or our partner. And we have downgraded their value. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, because we have taken each other for granted. So I bless every home that there will be a change coming. There will be a change in the way we organize our time, our thinking, our values. So that, Lord, every mother will be like the proverb of 31. And every father will love their wives in a way that is necessary for her to be empowered. So, Lord, I speak with wisdom in the changes that each of our family need to take in the coming weeks. So that, Lord, we reorganize our family life around your word and according to your word. I bless every effort that is being made, Lord, especially when the mothers rise up even before dawn to do their job, that you give each one great health, good energy, good attitude, words of wisdom, and they also know how to take care of themselves. Bless every household here, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.